Hello, everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Happy 100th episode, everybody.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 12 of One Tree Hill, appropriately titled 100, which, fun fact, is a song by The Fray. We know that band very well. Great band. Love that band.
Great band.
I do love The Fray.
They're so good. Anyway, yes, as Jesse said, this is the 100th episode of One Tree Hill. Little more than 100 episodes for us because we've done special bonuses and recaps and all that kind of stuff, but it's still a very big deal. The show hit 100 episodes, which
these people have made me watch 100 episodes of this nonsense.
And you've liked about 35% of it. So shut up.
Yeah.
And I have made Caitlin watch two very bad Christmas movies in return. So even I trade, still even think even I owe them some some more misery.
And I just enjoy all of it. So I'm just coming out the winner on top here. It's fine. But yes, it's the 100th episode. I think it was always a big deal back then that a show would get to 100 episodes, especially a teen drama on like the WB and CW and things like that, because nobody ever took them seriously and that they would last that long. So the fact that it did was kind of crazy when it happened, I remember. Mm-hmm. So shall we just dive right in, kids?
Yeah.
Great. So we open up on a very, very sweet opener, which is Lucas doing a voiceover talking about how when he was little, he and his mom and his uncle Keith would go on vacations together, but they wouldn't go to any exotic places. They would just get in the car and drive. And we find out he's talking to Jamie, and Jamie asks, well, where'd you go? He said, we would just drive the back roads of Tree Hill and find all these cool, fun places and experience all this fun stuff together. And it was just the three of them together, and that's all that really mattered. But he was telling Jamie about a certain time where one trip was extra special because his uncle let him drive. And we see throughout this entire thing, we see Lucas, Haley, and Jamie in the car together. And then it cuts to Jamie sitting on Lucas's lap, helping drive the car with Lucas. And it's absolutely adorable.
So cute.
It's so cute. And the parallels, that we've thought about, but it really hits at home with this first scene that it's like, yeah, it's Haley and Jamie and Uncle Lucas.
Yeah. Without the romantic undertones between his mom and his uncle.
Yes. 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 No daddy uncle here.
No.
Even though he looks just like Lucas.
Yeah, exactly.
Fine. It's fine. Yeah. Then we cut to see Peyton driving past the church where the wedding is going to happen. And we see her envisioning and daydreaming her getting married to Lucas. And everyone's very happy for them. But she's startled back to reality by a jerk of a driver behind her who honks their horn and drives past her. And then we go to Brooke, who envisions herself in Lindsay's wedding dress while she's putting the finishing touches to it. And then we see Haley come downstairs and find Nathan there saying he wants to come home, and he kisses her. And she says he shouldn't have done that, but he says he wanted to. So she immediately kisses him back. And then it starts to rain inside their house, and they just start making out in the rain in their house. And we realize, you know, when the rain's coming down from the ceiling, that yes, it's a dream. And it's just Nathan daydreaming in the shower.
Yes, we all realized it was just a dream and did not go, your house is leaking, bitch. Yes.
Yeah, with those two, they wouldn't care, though. I guarantee you, if they could, they'd install a water feature somewhere to have just a rain room for those two. But yeah,
that would be their sex room.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, there were so many of those, like, this is a fantasy cutaway scenes that I fell for a lot in this. And this is one of them. Because I thought it was like a sign, like he kisses her and then it starts raining inside, but oh, it's a leak. You know, life is hard when you're a homeowner, you know, but it was a sign. It was like fireworks, except for them, it's rain.
Because it's always rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we then cut to Lucas, Haley, and Jamie. And we find out, yes, they were actually driving. They were driving around because they were going to the pier. And they're hanging out there, and Haley asks him if he wants to talk about what she said to him last episode, which, if you remember, was that he shouldn't marry Lindsay. And Lucas just basically says it really succinctly. He says, well, you told me you hate my book and then I picked the wrong girl to marry. Well, he tells her, he's like, no, the book is not about Peyton. I love Lindsay. It's fine. But Haley clarifies the book is about yearning. And she's like, I still think there's feelings there for Peyton. And this book just basically screams it out. So what are you going to do about it, dude?
And you didn't start writing the book until Peyton came back.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Lucas, none of us are stupid.
No, just him. It's fine.
Except yeah, just
for you,
who is the dumbest boy on earth.
Yep. Yep.
He is the dumbest boy.
I wrote that so many times in my notes today. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the show New Girl, but like when I do something stupid, I always hear Schmidt in my brain going, I'm the dumbest boy at school. And that's what I was saying to Lucas this entire episode.
Yes, 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 yes. But I will say their conversation is cut short because we then see, who do we see get off a boat, Jesse?
It's Karen!
Karen's back. Yes. Yes, Karen's back. She immediately hugs Lucas and Haley and hugs Jamie and is so shocked how big he's gotten because the last time she saw him, he was just a baby. And we see, because Lucas asks, where's Lily? And she says, well, she's with Andy. And we look up and we see that Lily's in Andy's arms at the top of the boat. And we find out that, yes, Karen got back together with Andy. And that is how she and Lily have been traveling the world. They've been doing it with Andy. And
makes so much sense now.
Yep.
Karen's got a sugar daddy.
And we immediately cut to the cemetery where Karen goes to visit Keith's grave, and Jamie and Lily are playing, and we see Lucas and Andy leaned up against the car, and Andy talks about how happy Lucas talks to Andy about how happy he is that Karen and he are back together. And Andy says, you know, I love Lily and I love Karen, but I would give it all up if that meant that Keith could be here for your wedding day and every day after that.
And that is how you know that Andy is a king.
Yes.
Because he both recognizes this beautiful second chance he's been given with this woman, but also knows that he was the second choice and he's okay with it.
Mm-hmm. Someone had to die for the second chance to come.
It's just like how graceful of a person he is that he'd be like, I'd give it all up if it meant Keith was here.
And it makes me so happy to see that Karen has happiness with Andy. Mm-hmm. With it, because we know she loves Andy too. We saw that before. Yeah. So it's very nice to see that Karen got a happy ending in the end when it's all said and done. And it's really great for her. And also for Lily. It's like,
Yeah.
Cause Lily's adorable. I love it.
Oh my God, she's so precious.
Yeah.
And also just when Karen runs off the boat to go greet Lucas, that shit was so cute.
Mm-hmm. So good.
I don't know if this is true and I will never find out if it's true or not, but I would like to think that they kept Moira and Chad like separate from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Until they filmed that scene, because they probably hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and what's crazy to think is it's only been 12 episodes where we've not had Karen, because there's only been 12 episodes so far of season 5. But it's mm-hmm. like, it seems like she's been gone for so long. And for everyone else,
right,
she'd been gone probably a year. We probably hadn't seen Karen because the season 5 was a mid-season replacement. So by the time this kind of happened, we were close to where, you know, they were at the end of season 4, you know, it was like April, March, something like that, you know? So yeah,
right.
for the audience, we hadn't seen her in a long time, but they probably hadn't either. So it's just, yeah, it's a very sweet reunion.
It's very nice.
Love. Yes.
All of
yes.
her reunions with her children.
Yes. Yes, all of her children. We'll get to those.
Mama Karen's back. Yeah. I do love Andy coming in with the exact same relationship that he and Luke had back in, what was that, season 2?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Where he's like, I'm happy you're getting married, but it was good I wasn't back in town because Lindsay would not be marrying you if I were here. Right. And I'm like, yes, Andy. Yes. Yeah, I missed you so much and I didn't know it.
And Lucas just says, I got to talk to my mom about getting rid of you.
Yeah. Yep.
It's perfect. Perfect. It's perfect.
Little Lucas is.
Lucas is thriving.
Thriving. With his, yep.
With his.
Love it.
Daddy, stepfather.
Yep.
Andy.
Yeah.
Kiwi daddy.
Kiwi daddy. Kiwi daddy. Right. I forgot about that because it's been so long since we saw Andy.
So long.
Yes. Yes. So good. So, so good. What I don't like is the next scene, which is a really ominous scene of Dan getting ready in his hotel room, putting on a tux and saying he loves a wedding. It's the perfect occasion for a family reunion.
Ugh. Ugh. Just anyway. The camera angles in this. Are you kidding me?
Yes. Yeah.
Go the fuck home with this ominous bullshit. I am over it.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, then Lucas is helping Jamie with his tie at the church, you know, in the little back room where the boys are getting ready. And Nathan shows up and Jamie immediately runs into his daddy's arms because he misses him. And Nathan explains Jamie's job as the ring bearer, but Jamie is just very happy that he gets to hold on to treasure.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. God. He shows him the ring, the box.
He can't lose because Uncle Lucas is poor.
Yes. Because
Lucas hasn't sold it. Yes. Because Nathan says Lucas hasn't sold his second book yet, so he's really poor. And Jamie just turns and says, I'm sorry, you're poor, Uncle Lucas.
The absolute shade that Nathan.
With the most sincere delivery by James Lucas Scott. It's so good.
Oh, yeah. It's so funny.
So good. And then Nathan immediately asks Lucas for intel on Haley and how things have been because he hasn't seen her in a week. And Lucas says, well, it's the same thing. She misses him, but she's stubborn. And it sucks that Karen's here because, you know, Karen raised a son with a really great uncle and no husband. And Nathan immediately goes, I hate Dan. Uh-huh. Dan sucks. It's just, yeah. Then a delivery guy delivers flowers for the bride to the groom suite on accident. So then we get the next shot of Jamie in front of them holding the flowers going to the bridal suite while Lucas and Nathan argue about who gets to deliver those flowers because they both want FaceTime with Lindsay and Haley because, you know, Lindsay's been gone staying at Haley's for the last week to make everything romantic. So Lucas wants to see Lindsay. Nathan obviously wants to see Haley. And while they're bickering about it, Jamie just walks right in and delivers the flowers. Yep.
That shit was so good.
It was so funny.
The banter between these brothers in the first half of this episode was top tier.
Yes.
Down to, hey, look who it is.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. God, it's so good. But yeah, as they both strike out, because Haley answers the door and Nathan just goes like Caitlin said, hey, look who it is. And she's like, no, no, no. And just shuts the door. And Lucas goes, hey, look who it is. It's so stupid. Oh my God. It's ridiculous. But then Lucas knocks on the door and the best thing ever happens because Lily answers the door and Lucas is like, oh, hi, little sister. It's so good to see you. Do you think you could let me in? And she just screams, no, you're bad luck, and slams the door in his face.
Perfect.
The child's 4 years old and already knows her brother very well.
Not gonna lie.
She just wants to be like Aunt Haley and yell at Lucas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Exactly.
Which is valid.
Yeah.
Lily coming in to this episode and being like, I don't know, just her and Jamie together was just precious and perfect. And I loved
it. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes. Then Lucas immediately does a flashback to Lindsay jumping his bones after she's read his book, which we find out is called The Comet. So we'll just call it The Comet from now on instead of the new book. It's called The Comet. And she talks about how romantic the book is. And Lucas is taken aback because he's like, it's about a scientist in the stars.
Because he's and, stupid.
Okay.
He's the dumbest boy alive.
He's the dumbest boy in school.
Yes, yes, yes. But then Lindsay explains that it's about a boy who sees a comet when he's young, and then he waits his entire life to see this comet again, becomes a scientist to see it, because even though people say that it's never going to happen, but he still believes in it. And Lindsay says it's about love in its purest form. Great.
Love between a Lucas and a Peyton. Yes, it's purest form.
It's absolutely not about science.
No, not at all. Not at all. Then we cut to Brooke, who is closing up the store, obviously, for the, or it's not even really open, but she was just there probably before, when Karen comes in. And she, we do the thing of, you know, Brooke's back's to the door and she's like, sorry, we're closed. And she turns around and it's Karen, and she immediately runs and gives her a hug. And Brooke asks if she hates what she's done with the cafe. But Karen just says she's so proud of her. And Karen then asks how Peyton's doing. But Brooke tells her, you know, Peyton's trying to put on a brave face, but we all know she's a mess because we all thought that this would be her day.
And Karen agrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
I would like to think that it's very likely that Karen hasn't met Lindsay.
Exactly. I would say so.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, we have to stand, because she's fully like, I'm going to go. I'm going to support my son as he marries somebody.
Right? Somebody he likes, who they've been together for, what, 2 years-ish, maybe?
Yeah, 2 years. Yeah. Which is a fair amount of time in the grand scheme of things, in terms of like getting married and shit. But like, she's like, I don't know who this girl is, but okay, Luke. Like,
yeah, it's either they've never met or Andy's paid money to have them flown out somewhere to visit them. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. It's one or the other.
New York. Yeah,
exactly. Absolutely. Exactly. And then Brooke asks Karen, or she talks to Karen about how she made Lindsay's wedding dress and how that made her think about how she was supposed to make Karen's wedding dress to Keith. And it makes her ask her how she's managed to make everything okay after everything that she's been through in her life. And she says she wants to know because she wants to be that person someday. And Karen just tells Brooke that she already is, that she has grown so much in her life, and she's only scratched the surface of what's to come for her. So good. So good.
This is so sweet.
Karen is everybody's mother.
Everybody's mom.
Yes. Then
Karen, sorry, but Karen coming back the day after Brooke fires her own mother from being a mother is so good.
It's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely perfect, because let's be real here. Karen Rowe is the reason that Brooke is not a materialistic bitch anymore.
Yeah. Karen is the reason that Brooke had the confidence to start Clothes Over Bros.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
And then Peyton comes into the store and immediately sees Karen and gives her a big hug and immediately thanks her for her office. And Karen says, you're very welcome. And she tells both of them not to give up on love, as they may find love in places they never imagined, you know, in a friendship, work, or even their children, if they don't find it elsewhere. But they may find something better in their lives than that. Ugh. It's so sweet.
It's so sweet, especially like, I mean, literally before Peyton walked in the room, they were all like, we thought this was going to be her day.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that Karen is being simultaneously happy for Lucas, but also like, yeah, I thought it was going to be you too. Like,
but also caring about the feelings of Peyton and Brooke and everybody else involved.
Yeah. The love of her children, the entire teenage population of Tree Hill.
Yes.
The entire 20 something population of Tree Hill. Now
they were teenagers when she left the country. So
that's true.
Yes. Then we get a super adorable scene of Lily teasing Jamie that he has to call her Aunt Lily.
He's like, the fuck I will.
She's like, fuck
say
off.
It. Say it, Aunt Lily. And then we see Lindsay come out right then, and they just both go, wow, you look like Cinderella.
I'm about to say something that's a little bit mean to Brooke Penelope Davis.
Yeah.
And I want that dress is not that great because
that dress is from David's Bridal.
Yep.
Like, sorry, but ugh.
You know what I will say is, you know who she looks like?
Peyton.
No, Jules.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, you're right.
That's similar dress. I'm pretty sure Jules wore her hair up in a very similar way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is intentional.
Yeah. I do not remember seeing Jules in her wedding dress.
Oh, yeah. No, because she was in her wedding dress when Karen confronted her.
Oh, yeah, you're mm-hmm. right.
Then we see Peyton and Brooke drive up to the wedding. And Brooke is a little annoyed because, you know, Owen is not there because he went camping with Chase for the weekend. And they make some really bad Brokeback Mountain jokes, which are still funny, but they're dumb.
I cackled. I yeah. laughed a lot.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
kind it's like, of guy goes camping with his best friend on the weekend of a wedding? She's like, Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yep. Like, wah, wah. Wah, wah. Yeah. And as they're getting out of the car, we find out that the boys, Skills, Mouth, Junk, Fergie, and Millie are tailgating Lucas's wedding.
Millie's just supervising.
Yes, Millie's designated driver. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's hilarious. And so they give him a beer, and Skills immediately asks Peyton what your plan is for today. And she's like, what? And he's like, to steal Lucas back. And they make all kinds of jokes.
I love
how
all of their friends are all like, I love Lindsay, but it should have been you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Because that's what everyone has said from minute one. Like, yeah. Lindsay's great, but yeah. And they keep joking about it, even to the point where I think Skills mentions drugging Lindsay or something like that at one point.
Yeah, and drugging Lindsay and putting Peyton in the dress so that when Lucas takes the veil off, boom, it's Peyton.
Yep, yep. And I remember the only objection that Brooke really had was when they said something about ruining the dress, and Brooke was like, no, don't do it. I worked too hard on that David's Bridal Couture.
Yep. And then Skills is like, maybe he'll say the wrong name, like Ross and Friends. I'm like, God. Jesus, Skills.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, he may as well have with that book.
I mean, but then Peyton kind of jokes it off and says, you know, or maybe Peyton will just be here very, you know, be here at the ceremony, be very graceful and dignified, and then get really drunk at the reception and have some great anonymous sex. And then Skills immediately goes, have I mentioned how hot you look today? Which just flashes back. I don't know if you remember this, Caitlin, like earlier on in the Drama Queens podcast, they talked about how there was supposedly a storyline at one point where Peyton and Skills were supposed to get together.
Oh, really?
Yes. They were supposed to get together in high school instead of Peyton being all sad and lonely. And then, you know,
and then they realized Jake.
Yep. Well, no, it was after Jake. It was supposed to be after Jake. But then I think what happened was, remember, they liked, you know, making her miserable because it was good TV. So then they just kept making her miserable instead of giving her a man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yeah, which I think is just, I think that's kind of a funny callback. But anyway, then as they're getting ready to go inside for the ceremony, we find out that Skills is in charge of watching out for Jamie during the ceremony. So he jokes and says, fine, I'll get him a beer, too, and pops another beer into Millie's purse. Great.
He's really doing the most for his best. Honestly, I think he's doing the most for this wedding because he's low-key salty that he's not the best man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, so they all go inside, and Brooke tells Peyton that she'll be okay. And Peyton just says, yep, I will. I just need a minute. And Peyton sits on the hood of her car and looks back to the church to see Lindsay standing outside the church. They awkwardly wave at each other, and Peyton walks inside.
Oof.
I'm honestly, throughout this entire episode, I was surprised that Lindsay let Lucas invite Peyton. Like,
well, here's the thing. They're good, though, remember? I mean, no, they haven't.
They've never been good.
Well, after the library, they said they would be good, so they've been good. You know, not been any knockdown, dragout fights between them. And, you know, yeah.
And Lucas is trying to be Peyton's friend. And Peyton was like, I'm going to be happy for you. And also, they invited 100 other people who I've never seen before.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. If all these randos can be invited to this wedding, and you sure as hell know that none of these people know Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Much similarly to, I think, the comment that I had when Jules and Keith got married of, who are these people?
Yep. Who are all of these extras they hired to be people from Treehouse?
Who are these people? Yeah. Lucas Scott knows 12 people.
Yep. Yeah. And like, he's had sex with 4 of them.
I was about to say half, but yeah, you're probably more accurate with 4. It's fine.
Well, he has a lot of family in Treehouse.
That's true. Not that much family, though, really. The grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes. So then, then we get a good scene. Then we see Dan sitting in his car across the street from the church, you know, doing what he does best, sitting in his car across the street from somewhere. Hmm. When Haley sees him there, and she immediately goes after him and tells him he is not coming inside that church and he will not speak to Jamie, Nathan, Lucas, or Karen. And she tells him this is the last conversation that they will ever have, and he can enjoy his reprehensible life.
Mm. So she good. Has had it.
Yep.
Done. Yes. Then we cut to Nathan and Lucas, who are waiting for the wedding to start. They're, you know, waiting in the wings there. And Nathan reminds Lucas that he's a great guy and he's always going to have his back no matter what. Great, sweet, brotherly love moment. Great.
Brothers.
Yes. Then the wedding starts and we see Haley walking down the aisle, and Nathan remembers their wedding night as he asks what she's thinking that evening. And she tells him that this is going to be the best night ever because she'll be able to tell her children and their children's children about how they got married and how he will love her forever.
Ugh.
It's so cute.
God, they were so cute and so young and so naive.
Yeah. Yep.
And now they're old and withered and
yeah,
22 years
right
old.
Age of 20.
Yeah.
Dear God. Yes. But then as the string quartet, who's up in the balcony of the church, finish their first song for the, you know, walking down the aisle, one of them turn to somebody and says, oh, I'm you're welcome to sit up here, but you could see probably much better down there. And the person turns and we see that it's Carrie. And she says, oh, she's her son is the ring bearer.
How did no one standing at that altar see her?
Oh, right.
How? There were 6 people in that balcony and 5 of them had instruments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, Carrie was the only one standing.
Yeah. How did they not, like, how did Haley and Nathan not see her?
I don't know.
Blows my mind.
I think Nathan didn't notice it because he can't take his eyes off Haley, because the entire time she was walking down that aisle, all he was doing was staring at his gorgeous wife.
Yeah, that's fair. But still, like, if I were Haley James Scott, I would have one eye on the door and one eye on, not even just on the door, one eye on every single entrance looking for Dan.
Right.
Yeah, true. True. But if you're looking, here's the thing. Think about this. If you're looking for Dan, you're not going to notice the tall or the small little woman who is sitting up there in the balcony with the string quartet.
Yeah, I suppose so. But I'd still be checking the balcony for Dan.
Yeah. So, but like I said, Dan, Carrie, very different shapes and sizes.
There are too many crazy people at this wedding.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Far too many.
Yes. Then it cuts to commercial and we go back to the wedding, and we see Lily walking down the aisle, throwing flower petals in the air, which jogs Peyton's memory and reminds her of when Lucas professes his love to her at the state championship basketball game. Yep.
It all comes back to that basketball game.
Yep.
As it should, because that was the first time that Lucas has been honest in years.
Smartest thing he did.
It's also the last time he was honest.
Not wrong. Then we cut to Lindsay, who is now Lindsay is walking down the aisle, and we see the ceremony begin, and Skills immediately leans forward to the aisle in front where Peyton is and tells her that he's got her, and Brooke tells him to behave or she will smack him.
She says she'll spank him specifically.
Yes. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. And then Brooke turns and looks at Lucas, and then she flashes back to a time just a little while ago when she admits to him the real reason why she came home. We don't hear what it is yet, But Lucas asks if she's sure, and she says she is, and it's what her heart wants. Ugh. Dot, dot, dot. Jesse, in that moment, what did you think it was?
I honestly had no idea.
Okay.
I had no way of knowing.
No, there's no context for any of it. So I just didn't know if you had a shot in the dark, if you'd like had like, oh, this is what it is. But yeah.
No, I mean, I thought there was an outside chance that she told Lucas everything that had been going on with Peyton and how miserable Peyton had been. And but then Lucas said, are you sure? And I'm like, oh, well, maybe, you know. But yeah, truly no, not even an idea, an iota of what was about to go.
Okay. Yeah. So then the vows begin, and Peyton immediately stands up. And she tells Lucas he can't marry Lindsay because she loves him. And he fixed her car. And that was the day that she fell in love with him. And she said, you know, she said someday to his proposal those 2 years ago, but someday is now. And she loves him. And she asks him not to leave her again because people always leave.
And this one got me. This one got me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Especially with Skills' reaction.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Being like, fuck yeah.
Skills got it, has his beer. Like fully open beer in a church, yep. And is just waiting for the chaos to begin.
yep. And instead, we then get a quick voiceover from Peyton, who instead it just cuts and she's just sitting there as the vows happen, and she says, "That's what I should have said, but I didn't. But this is what he says." And then we see Lucas say, "I do," to Lindsay. Which I think, honestly, that was such a good moment to be like, that's what I should have said. Instead, this is what he said. That's such good. I loved that part. Actually.
It gave me big, like, Twilight Breaking Dawn part two vibes, the end of it, where they do fake out. Oh,
the big fake out giant fight scene where it's like, oh, yeah, everyone dies.
Yeah.
Everyone dies. And it's like,
I realized that my superpower is that I can make any conversation about Twilight in like three moves or less. So I'm just like leaning into it. And I want you both to be aware of that.
Great. I'm here for it.
I do not think Twilight is a masterpiece or well written or well made or anything, but it was a very big part of my growing up, and I just needed to say that disclaimer before we moved on. Thank you.
Same. It's fine. Moving on. Then Jamie, who is not standing up front, you know, like where the ring bearer usually does, because I remember when I was a ring bearer, I was so bored standing up front for the entire part of the wedding, which I know was probably only like 20 minutes, but I was like, I'm so bored. I'm so tired. I don't want to sit up here anymore. So no, Jamie's not there. He's sitting with Skills in the congregation, and he asks if he can go to the bathroom, and Skills says, okay, then they'll go together. And he's like, no, I want to go by myself, because if I don't, Lily will make fun of me. And Skills says, fine, but come right back. And Jamie's like, okay. And Jamie walks out of the
sanctuary.
Thank you. That was the word I was looking for. And he runs right past Carrie.
Ugh.
Who lies to him and says, you know, that your mama said that we could be together again. And I'm going to let's go. And Jamie's like, mama said I shouldn't leave the church. And she's like, no, it's okay. I'm with you. And she takes Jamie.
Proceeds to continue to gaslight a 4.5-year-old.
Uh-huh. And kidnap him.
Yep.
Yes. Then we cut to Lindsay, who is the preacher finishes the vows, and she's about to say I do, but she doesn't. She has an epiphany, and she says it was a comet. And she talks about the comet the boy saw. And she immediately asks when he first spoke to Peyton. And we flash back to that scene in the pilot episode where he met her as he was fixing her car on the side of the lake. And he's fixing her car, which we realize, because they put it really right there front and center, her car is a comet.
Yeah, which you had both mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And you had both said, it's important. It will come back.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as she said, he's waiting for a comet, I went, this motherfucker. dumbest boy in school.
But what's funny is, the comet is there, but they don't really ever call it the comet before this moment. So it's one of those things, like for us, whenever we first watched it, I remember, Caitlin, I was like, oh, it's a comet. My mind was blown that this was the callback they did for it.
What kind of car she has.
No,
she has a really cool vintage car.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No. And the only reason I knew is because you two had mentioned it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the zeitgeist now of the show, of the comet. Oh my God, the comet. And yeah. And so then she reminds him how he wrote that the boy would forever be in love with the comet. And when he saw it, his life had meaning. And she tells him she can't marry him. And
fair.
Yep.
Good girl.
And runs out of the church. And we also get a scene of Carrie running away with Jamie from the church. And we see Peyton in tears as Lindsay leaves. And Lucas falls to the ground in shock as Lindsay leaves.
Yeah.
Yep. Then it cuts to commercial and comes back. And we see that the sanctuary is empty except for Peyton. She's still sitting there. And Lucas is in one of the back rooms in shock as Nathan joins him. And he says Lindsay's gone. And Nathan asks what happens next. And Lucas says he wants her back. And Nathan tells him then get up and go get her. And Lucas is, being poor, poor, pitiful me. But Nathan just asks him to look into his heart. And if that's what he really wants, he should go get it. Mm-hmm. Great. We then see Haley running around the church, realizing now that Jamie is gone. And she tells Karen that Dan was here, and Skills and Andy immediately come out after looking around, and Skills immediately apologizes to Haley for losing Jamie. Then we cut to Brooke, who goes into the sanctuary to see Peyton, and she tells her to go talk to Lucas. But Peyton reminds her that Lucas said yes to Lindsay. And Brooke tells her that the reason why she came home, besides to help Peyton, was that she has all the success and all the money in the world that she could ever want, but she was more lonely than ever. And she tells Peyton to talk to Lucas and not let any lies that he told today stop her from telling him how she feels. And they hug, and Brooke then tells Peyton that she wants a baby. And Peyton immediately goes, "With me?" Which is hilarious. The funniest thing
Peyton Sawyer has ever said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But also the thought that was in my head when Brooke said it, because right? They were hugging, like mm-hmm. actively hugging. And Brooke said, "I want to have a baby." And it's just like, really?
I just love Hillary Burton Morgan's face that just changes the media. As soon as she says it, she just goes, "With me?"
Right.
It's so good. It's so stupid.
I would argue. It's a fair question at that moment.
Very fair question.
Yes, yes, yes. But Brooke clarifies that no, she wants to have a baby, and that's the real reason why she came back to Tree Hill. But then Mouth and Millie come by and tell them that Jamie's missing. And then we go outside of the church where Nathan walks up, and Haley tells him that Jamie's missing, and Nathan immediately runs out in the middle of the street because he sees a cop car going by and jumps in front of the cop car to flag them down. And the cops start to think that Nathan's been drinking or he's been overreacting about Jamie being gone, until they find out that his father is Dan Scott. And they immediately then go, okay, fine. Yep. They get on the radio. They ask for a description. And the biggest part out of that is that Haley describes Jamie as having sandy blonde hair, which then immediately cuts to Carrie washing Jamie's hair to get ready to dye it black. Uh-huh.
It's kind of terrifying how much that she's thought this through.
Mm-hmm. And like, she said weeks to plan this now.
Yeah.
You know?
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. She's had a complete break, though, like not compared to the last time we saw her. The last time we saw her, she was almost here. Mm-hmm. But like.
Oh,
from the beginning,
yeah,
this is next level unhinged.
Yeah,
well, because the next scene is it's very funny. I find it funny that Jamie is sitting there on the motel room bed with a bunch of candy that she's given him, watching a very ominous Bugs Bunny cartoon about an evil witch who's going to kidnap children.
I didn't catch that.
Well played, One Tree Hill. Well played.
Yes. And it's Carrie realizes that she's missing something from her bag that she needs or something. So she says she's going to leave. But Jamie can just stay right there and she'll be right back. And he starts to question things a little bit and says, when are we going home? And we see her completely crack and go home. We're not going home. You know, and then she collects it again and says, no, we're going to play a game. And she asks him to go, you know, hide in the motel room, and then she'll come back and find him. And she leaves the room, and we see that Dan sees her leave the room because Dan followed her from the church to the motel room.
Good.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Then we get Haley in Jamie's room, and Nathan comes in letting her know the police are looking everywhere for Jamie and that Dan's license plate is on every major highway sign, you know, highway sign for them to try to find him. And Haley breaks down saying that Nathan should have been there to protect him and she should have let him come home to be able to protect him. And she breaks down in his arms and sobs and says that he's all she has. Ugh, so good.
Yeah. I did think that Haley was like blaming Nathan for a minute.
It starts out that way. And then you realize, no, she's blaming herself. Because that's what Nathan says. It's like, you can't blame yourself for this. This is not your fault. You know, and it's such good acting on Joy's part. Honestly, so good. Joy is great this entire episode, even though she's not really in the forefront of much until this moment, really, you know, with Jamie. Right. And everything, but everything she's done up until that point has just been really good. Honestly, everyone has done really well this episode, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Joy is consistently great. Yes. Though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just the range she does from like, you know, threatening bodily harm to Dan to now sobbing in Nathan's arms. Like the range she has this episode is great. Yeah. Then we cut back to Dan, who knocks on the motel room door and tells Jamie he's here to help him, but he has to open the door so Dan can take him home. And we see a somewhat scared Jamie backing up into the corner away from the door.
Valid, because everything he's heard about this man so far is that if he doesn't clean his room and eat his vegetables, he's going to hurt him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and he's also, I mean, he's been having nightmares about him. So
there's
that. There's that. Then Lucas gets to his house to try to find Lindsay and finds Lindsay there with her bags packed, sitting on his bed, reading the Comet with tears streaming down her face. She reads a passage aloud and he tells her it's just a story and he loves her. And she says she loves him too, but his heart is conflicted and her heart always knew it was, but she was hoping someday that she could be his Comet. Oh. And she tells him the book is an epic love story. But it's not their love story. And neither is this ring as she takes it off and puts it on the book. And she leaves because he tells her don't go or don't leave. And she just says people always leave. And then she leaves.
Oof. Yikes. That fucking oof.
Yeah. I love that scene between the two of them. It's so good.
Yeah.
This whole episode, like jumping a little bit, but this episode was great.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. Then Carrie gets back to the motel room and tries to find Jamie, but instead she finds a wild Dan who immediately strangles her, shoves her against the wall, and tells her that if she ever goes near his family again, he will kill her. And he knows how to do that because he's killed his brother in cold blood before.
Oh.
My favorite is he's like, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Oh, you probably can't speak. Blink once for yes, twice for no. So good. So good. Yes. Then we cut back to Nathan and Haley's house where the police are everywhere. Everyone is there. And we see that Lucas has now just gotten there and immediately hugs Haley, and Skills is telling Mouth that he will never forgive himself if Jamie doesn't come home. Lily really sweetly asks Nathan if she can play with Jamie's basketball to a very broken Nathan. Oh my God.
Let that little girl out of that flower girl dress. I am sorry. That she is so uncomfortable in that dress. Like, she's so cute, but let her put real clothes on and just play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, they all probably went straight to Haley and Nathan's.
No, yeah, I know.
They did. But yeah, as Lucas is hugging Haley, we then see Jamie come around the corner and run immediately into Haley and Nathan's arms. Everyone is very happy and they're tears in their eyes. Everyone's crying. They're hugging him. And Jamie says he's fine, that Grandpa Dan saved him. And the entire group, and they linger on Karen. So I say, especially Karen, they all look up and they see Dan walk around the corner and they all stare at him in shock as the episode ends.
Ugh. God, poor Karen comes back to Tree Hill once and has to see fucking Dan.
Right? God.
Talk about awful timing.
Anyway, that was the episode, guys. What do we think?
It was an, I mean, I agree with what Jesse said. It was an excellent 100th episode.
It's a great episode. It's a wonderful episode. It's got huge storyline movement with everything, obviously, you know. I mean, I think even like when I first watched it, we all kind of figured because they were teasing that the 100th episode was this season, you know, when they were doing advertising and things like that, that the wedding was going to be the 100th episode. So we always knew something was going to happen, but we never knew what it was. And I think it exceeds expectations as to what we think is going to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know what you expected from the 100th episode, Jesse. I know we teased it a little bit last week with stuff, but was it what you thought would happen, or was it a shock, or was there stuff that you were like, oh, I totally called this, but this was out of left field? What did you think?
No, I mean, there are things that, like, I figured the wedding, like the marriage wasn't gonna stick, you know, like there was a moment when they did the shot of the Lucas putting Lindsay's ring on, like her wedding ring on, and I went, oh, this is happening. Like, because like I hoped, we all know I was hoping that Karen would come back, but I truly did not think that the marriage was gonna stick. So yeah, I mean, it was, I knew Dan was gonna cause shenanigans because why else would they
let him out of jail
the episode before the wedding?
Right.
But like my least favorite thing that this show does, I'm not going to lie, is putting two equally like mentally ill people in as villains of the show and then making you guess which one's going to be more trouble. And that is what this episode did. And I'm like, I don't like that Dan is the hero, that Dan saved Jamie. I hate that. Put him back in prison. God damn it.
Yeah. That's fair.
No, I liked it. This is by far my favorite fucked up wedding in the series so far.
We've had a few.
We've had a few. Handful of those.
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest shock for me, and I remember when I first watched it, was like you said, Jesse, Lucas puts on the ring and says, I do.
Yeah.
Like, and let's not forget, Lucas said he wants her back. So what does that mean?
Well, Lucas and Peyton aren't going to get together right away because Lucas, if he is good at anything, he is good at like self-flagellating and like deciding he needs to blame himself and keep himself from the things that make him happy, which is usually Peyton. So like, they're not going to get together right away. Like, fuck it. You know, like I have no, it'll be fine by the end, maybe hopefully someday. But like right now, Lucas is just going to be a guilty sad boy about hurting Lindsay. And then go through and read his own book and go, is it about Peyton? Because he's an idiot.
Well, and fun fact, I mean, we've been talking about this season because this was the season during the writer's strike. This was the last episode that was written and produced and done before the writer's strike happened. So this could have been the season finale.
Would have been a great season finale.
That would have been excellent. I love this episode. I think everyone is pitch perfect in this episode with their acting and how they interact with each other and everything like that. Every single one of them have a great moment. Like Nathan's monologue with, or the tirade that he has with the cops was genius. Yeah. So good. Haley was pitch perfect this episode. Brooke and Peyton's scenes together were both so good together. It was so nice. Like I said, Lindsay, I love Lindsay this episode. I love it. I love everything that she does this episode, including leaving Lucas's sorry ass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will say that David's bridal dress looked great running down the aisle.
Yes.
It did.
Yes. There's a reason why they gave her the one that has the little strap for your wrist so you can hike that thing up and run down the aisle.
Yep. Runaway yes. Bride. Yeah. Alexa, please play Ready to Run by the Chicks.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And even Dan, like Dan, what I will say, Paul Johansson is so good at is playing both sides of Dan Scott. And we haven't had it really till this episode where he's the, you know, super ominous, which is obviously a fake out because you think Dan's going to be the one causing the problem. And it turns out, no, Dan is the hero this episode. He saves Jamie.
Alexa, play Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift.
And instead we get a crazy fucking Carrie. So there's that. God.
Yeah.
She's always been something else, but like.
She was unhinged.
Good God.
Like, yeah. But good on the actress, Tori DeVito, I think is her name, who played that so well of the balance of, you know, the super calm and collected gaslighting the 4.5-year-old to completely unhinged crazy person. She weaved in and out of that so well this episode. It was great to watch.
Yeah.
It was scary to watch, but it was great to watch because it was so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, you know, Jamie Scott is the star of the show. And
always.
Yeah. Always. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I like the episode. It's a great 100th episode. It's a great milestone episode. And I'm glad that they, you know, obviously we're going to put attention to detail in it, but I'm very happy that they did that. You know, we got Karen back and Andy back and, you know, everyone is back together and it was a fun episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad they got Karen, that they got Moira to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, as much as I love Karen and I hope she sticks around, I wouldn't blame her for hightailing it. Getting directly the fuck back on that yacht and leaving as fast as she can with her child handsome lover.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else we want to add about the episode before we wrap up, kids, or are we good?
There was a moment I thought those cops were strippers.
Okay, Tim.
Seriously. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
How are you?
That is the energy I'm bringing today. I'm sorry.
On that note, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. It does really help us out. Rate us 5 stars. Does help us out in the long run with those lovely podcast algorithms. Hit us up on social media if you have any questions, comments, or concerns. We are everywhere at On Wednesdays Pod. Hit us up in the DMs of Instagram if you want to ask us any questions or anything. That's where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled, crazy episode of On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye.